Welcome, everyone, to the Madly Chasing Peace radio show with Dina Proctor. I'm a life coach, inspirational speaker, creator of 3x3 meditation, and author of the best-selling book, Madly Chasing Peace, How I Went From Hell to Happy in 9 minutes a Day. I love helping people transform their lives and find peace and happiness 3 minutes at a time. My passion for this show is asking my guests to share their stories of inspiration and success and the importance of mindset and emotion in creating a life of wellness, healing, abundance, and balance. You can learn more about me and my journey on my website, which is madlychasingpeace.com. And joining me today, I'm actually really excited to have Kelly McNellis. She's the founder of womenforone.com. She's here with me today, and we recently just had a really fantastic, extraordinary conversation. So many ideas and people in common. It was just really great, and I have an idea that we're going to have a fantastic show together. So let me share her bio with you, and then I'll invite her to share her own story. So Kelly McNellis is the founder and creator of Women for One, a destination for women ready and willing to make life happen. She travels the world as a speaker, teacher, and facilitator of workshops, helping others tap into lives powered by truth. It seems simple, doesn't it, telling the truth? Well, in a world ready to judge at the bat of an eyelash, it's sometimes a lot easier to create stories that keep us safe. But safety keeps us stalled, while the truth makes us nimble, powerful, and creative. Kelly's dedication to truth-telling helps curious people in search of more to find inspiration in themselves and then to share their stories with the world. Why? Because through sharing, we find the inspiration, community, and can create action that makes a brighter tomorrow. With over 20 years of experience as a nonprofit and small business consultant, Kelly is excited to be one of the voices behind Women for One, empowering generations of women around the world to build relationships, community, and the support structure they need to achieve their wildest dreams. She finds her own daily inspiration in spending time with her husband and children in their home outside of Seattle, and she's currently writing her first book. So you can learn more about Kelly and her work on her website, which is womenforone.com. Kelly, welcome. I'm just so glad to share this space with you today. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation to see where it goes and just have some enlightening conversation with you, Dina. So honored to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad. I remember when we talked a few weeks ago, it was just one thing after another, was just one passion and one creative idea after another. We were just really on fire in our chat. So I think we'll have a good time.
Absolutely.
So let me start out by just asking you to share a little bit about yourself and your story. You know, being true, honoring yourself, taking care of yourself, and then providing this amazing, I mean, Women for One is a great community and resource for people. So what is your passion and your story behind what made you, you know, the successful person that you are today?
Well, thank you. You know, I want to start out by explaining that I think my passion in life is that I've always been a seeker. And when I say the word seeker, I ever since I was little that I can remember, I felt like I wanted to know more about the world and how we're connected and where we all come from, you know, and ask those kind of questions like, what is God and what does that mean and what is the universe? So I've always been very curious. And I think it's been an incredible gift to me to have that passion because I've applied it through every single thing I've done in my life. And I would say, Dina, about probably about 10 years ago, I made a huge life transition and went through a divorce and then lost one of my best friends to cancer. And I was with her and nursed her through her passing and then met my life partner and blended a family of 6 children. We currently have 6 teenagers, 3 of my own and 3 of his. Wow. And with all of that recreation, that's where I got the impetus to start Women for One.
I get that. I could see that. And I love how, I love how curious you were even from such a young age. So can you talk a little bit about, because one of my passions that I love sharing is about, you know, our ability to believe in ourselves, to keep focused on our goal, to follow that intuitive wisdom and that guiding force, you know, kind of that internal voice, you know, what you're talking about, God and higher power and higher wisdom. How has that played an important role in where you are today?
It's the only role that's been played for me. And I love that you asked that, because basically what happened was 10 years ago, I woke up one day and it was a feeling like an aha, like Oprah talks about ahas, but it was like after a percentage of time of being unhappy and not feeling right about the choices that I had made and where I was in my life, I was like, you know what? I am the only one who has the power to change my life. And I had a deep yearning to understand what that truth, to dig deep and find what that truth was, and to live an authentic life of peace and happiness, and decided that I was the only one that created that. So that's how I moved forward, by taking these steps to start being curious about what do I want in my life? What do I not want in my life? How do I want to create this life for my children and myself? And that was the first kind of baby steps in moving towards finding my passion and creating Women for One. Listening to that voice.
Yeah. And what is your process? I mean, you know, I find my own thing in little mini meditations, and everybody has a process that works the best for them. What is a way that you access your intuitive guidance? Or how do you know that if it's just the voice of fear, or just kind of, you know, the voice in your head talking, as opposed to that inner guidance within?
I love that question, because, you know, it's so different for everyone. And I look at it, I went to a school to kind of learn more about myself, an energy and healing school. And it was really not to become a, quote, healer at all. It was really to find my own truth and find peace in myself. And I realized that my intuition is like a radio signal that I tune into. And it's when I quiet myself and I take deep breaths, kind of like your meditation, and I listen to the quiet whispers, not the loud judgmental voice, like, do this, do that, you've got to go, and, you know, fear-based, or if you don't do this, this will happen. The threatening voices, that's all what I call the ego. But those quiet suggestions, as I started paying attention to those quiet whispers and suggestions, the more I set my intent on just taking a baby step and following one of them, I would hear it better. My radio signal would tune in even better. And then the next day I'd be like, okay, what do you have to say to me today? And I just ask with curiosity.
You know, I love what you're saying about curiosity. It's one of my favorite words, actually, because I find, and also, you know, you're making an analogy come to mind of like listening to the intuitive voice, because I understand what you're saying, that it's that smaller, still whisper. It's almost like I relate it. I used to have like horrible relationship with food, and I would have these tremendous food cravings, like junk food and sugar and all of that. And those were always like the loud, compulsive, urgent voice. It was always the whisper to go for like the vegetables, you know, like, or the more healthy stuff. That was never the loud, compelling one. So I get what you're saying, because I can analogize it to how it used to feel when it was like, okay, the bad stuff, or, you know, where what's not coming from intuitive guidance is generally kind of like more loud and compulsive and urgent. And the small, still whisper, with a quieter voice, is usually the, it's like that voice of higher wisdom. But what I wanted to say was, with curiosity, I love that, because it implies like this real openness to be able to be shown. Because I have found that a lot of people, like when we're trying to figure out our path or find the voice of higher guidance, instead of really being curious and open-minded and patient with the process, or willing to wait until we hear it, it's almost like we try to guess where we think we're going to be led, instead of remaining in that open, curious space. It's almost like curiosity is kind of like a state of being for me. I don't know
awesome for saying that, because what happened was 3 years ago, I knew that I wanted to write, and that's all I knew. I was like, well, I'm ready to kind of get back in the world. I've somewhat successfully blended a family of eight, and now I'm ready to give back a little bit again because I had taken a year or two off. And I was curious on like what the mystery of my life was going to present. And I really did have that curiosity, and I surrendered to the process, like you said, of not pushing, allowing it to unfold and being the conduit of it and allowing it the channel to come. And literally I sat down one day and asked what I should do, and I heard from the quiet whisper the words Women for One. And I heard Global Community, and I went on and got the URL. I didn't even know what I was doing yet, and I would just go, well, I've worked in nonprofit and I've highlighted causes. So I started at the beginning highlighting causes that women, incredible things women were doing around the world. And then I sat down again and said, what next? I still want to write. And I heard women need to share their stories. And as soon as I followed that, Women for One just exploded into this women from all over the world sending their stories. And we still get about five to seven a week. Sharing their experiences, and not only sharing their experiences, but sharing how they moved through them, transcended them, and created a powerful new vision for their lives so that we can all feel more connected while we're reading and being inspired by them.
You know, I've found it's funny because when I went through my own healing, it was less beneficial the words and the wisdom of experts, like well-meaning people with advanced degrees and a huge understanding of what I was going through. But I found where I got my healing was when I found people who had been where I was, you know, like the people that have experienced it. So I really see a huge value in us telling our stories and helping each other, you know, in that way.
I just feel like it's all there is. I mean, if you look back to thousands of years, the network of verbal storytelling that happened, you know, oral storytelling in all of the cultures and traditions, moving up into this phase where we can do it now through video, audio, pictures, poems, written. It's phenomenal what it does, that you feel not alone and you feel connected to anybody in this world by reading what they've been through.
I totally can see that, you know, like, and that's been some of my biggest breakthroughs. And I think one of the really important things that comes across with us sharing the raw and real authenticity of where we've been, what we've navigated, and how we got through it is in being able to understand, like, we're not alone. Because so many times it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm so ashamed of dealing with this or embarrassed about what, you know, that I'm failing in this way. And then we look at other people's stories like, oh my gosh, so many people struggle like I'm struggling. Like, there is hope. So storytelling is just so amazingly powerful, I think.
I completely agree. It really, as you use the word transformation, right? It transforms you in so many ways. It transforms me to hear and read the stories that are submitted to our site. I mean, every day we get new ones. It's just phenomenal that, first of all, you have the courage to share it, not from a voyeuristic place, but from a place of really like, I've processed this, I'm going to release it and share it for many reasons, so that I have the courage and I don't have shame, so other people can feel connected, and so I can move on and take a positive move in my life.
And how is it for you? Like, I'm just curious on the process of writing, of physically getting pen to paper or, you know, fingers to keyboard and at letting words flow through, like even before it's shared with somebody else. Do you have a certain like catharsis or something special that goes on with you emotionally or spiritually in the process of writing?
You know, it's funny because I think everybody has their own process of writing, and the words I hear when you say that are to have patience. I have a very unique process that it's like all timing. So I have to be patient because it always ends up coming, but it doesn't come in my urgent need for it to be on the paper. And when it does, it completely unfolds. So part of my creative process is to have the patience to wait until it's ready to come out. Does that make any, like, kind of like a birth? I mean, it really is.
Yeah. It's like it's on its own time, and we're like the scribe or something, right?
Yes. We're the scribe. That's how I feel. And, you know, and to be honest, this last year with Women for One, I don't know if I think I shared it with you. It's been a growing pain year in 2014. And I had to take a look back at, like, what was I trying to force? And what did I get caught up in the, quote, doing and the action of, instead of just allowing Women for One to kind of still be coming through me? Because I am not Women for One. The women from around the world are Women for One.
Beautifully said. And let's dig into that a little bit. I feel like we're going on little tangents, but I'm totally enjoying it. In terms of, because I chose a word for 2015, like just a word and background intention for the year, and my word is surrender. So instead of forcing stuff, it's kind of in absolute acceptance of in process, where life, business, everything is right now, and then openness and curiosity towards more, like just really surrendering for things happening in their own time. So how does that look for you? And I think that this is a really kind of good question, especially for business, because a lot of times with business, it's like, what are you talking about? Surrender. I can't wait. I need to make life happen, not just allow these, the wait for inspiration. You know, how do you find that balance, or how do you like define that process for you, the allowing part?
The allowing part. Well, first of all, I love the word surrender. And, you know, you have words for the year. Well, you and I are very aligned. We think similarly. I have my words for the year, and then I have the words for my life. Mm-hmm. When I was 17, I went to India for several years on and off. And I prostrated right before a guru. And I wrote this long letter. And my letter was, what is the definition of surrender? So that was when I was 17. Wow. And ever since then, I feel like I've set my intent that my life is all about learning how to surrender and what that really means. So I love that that's your word this year. My word this year is shine, but, and it came to me last year, through a process I did with a woman that does a digs for, finding your word for your year. And I think I need to surrender in order to be able to shine, because there's all of this, you know, kind of Marianne Williamson's quote, your fear the fear of being great is sometimes more than the fear of failing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the safety, stretching outside of where we're comfortable, you know, we're putting ourselves out there.
Right.
I get that. And so what is, just to kind of get a little bit deeper with surrender, with allowing in terms of business, you know, because I'm just pulling from what you were saying about, you felt like last year it was too much making it happen. Let's allow and surrender for things to happen. Like, I'm just thinking of people who may be listening in thinking, my gosh, I feel like my business is a little bit stuck too. And I can relate to what you're saying. So how does that look for you, being able to implement and release the need to like force it and be able to be patient and allow it? Like, do you have a process or a way that you kind of catch yourself from doing it?
A lot of times what I do is I come back to the statement, and it actually riles a lot of people up when I say it, but I truly believe it to my core. And I'm not saying this about everything in the world, but all is as it should be right now in my life. All is as it should be. And you have to have trust to move into surrender. So if you don't have the trust piece of understanding you are exactly where you're supposed to be in this moment, not from an escapism kind of place, like not from a trying to get out of what you need to be doing, but from a trust place like, okay, I'm going to surrender that this year is going to be the intention of shining, and I'm going to get really clear on what my priorities are. I'm going to learn from what I did last year, and I'm going to trust that all is as it should be. And that's kind of where I come from when I get all frantic and like, oh my gosh, this didn't go well. And what happened? And I don't want to make that choice again. We all go through that, right? Mm-hmm. We have to take a breath, breathe, sit, be quiet, and check in and ask those kind of questions like, how can I trust? What is it going to take for me to slow down, get present, and understand how to move forward? It's really about slowing down and trusting.
I can really relate to what you're saying. And it's a good reminder, hearing you say that again too, you know, really great. Kelly, do you have like a personal process or a self-care routine or, you know, like a meditation practice or yoga or some sort of self-care ritual that you make a priority before anything else comes during the day to be able to take care of yourself? Because obviously we need to be plugged in and nourished before we're of any service to anybody else. And I know you have a ton of kids and a relationship and, you know, like this, when you know, it's you've got a lot to balance and a lot to manage. So what is, if you're open to sharing, like something that's important to you in terms of taking care of yourself so that you're able to be your best in the world?
Well, I really believe that each and every one of us needs to, and this is what I do personally, not just meditate, whatever that means for you or anybody listening, but through the meditation that you do, whatever that may be, whether it be your exercise, listening to beautiful music, breathing, mantra work, yoga, any of that, that we need to connect the earth and the sky, and we need to be grounded and present in what we're doing and be very intentional about what we're doing instead of checking out. Because I spent many years meditating and checking out and giving it up to the higher power, whatever that may be, like if it's God, if it's a guru, if it's a teacher, and I'm not there anymore. I studied earth energy and I studied how to incorporate different kinds of energies together. So what I do every day is I ground myself in the morning. I feel my feet on the ground. I go into nature. I take some deep breaths. Sometimes I need to use your 3x3 because that's as much as I'm allowing and making a choice to make because of my full life. I don't think it's, you know, that I'm being carried away. I'm making that choice to go quickly, but be very clear and connected to the ground and the earth and the sky and being present for myself and others. If that makes sense. That's what I do every day.
I love that. And you know what, it's interesting to think about that meditation or a spiritual routine can be something that's almost like an escape. I remember when I first started meditating and I started having like all my breakthroughs and everything, I talked to my mentor at the time who had instructed me to start meditating. And I said, I feel like I want to just go to India and, you know, like make life really simple and meditate for 14 hours a day or what. And I was only doing 3 minutes here and 3 minutes there, but I was having so many breakthroughs. I just thought like I wanted, and she, I remember she looked at me and told me, if you can't bring India back home, there's no point in going. And I thought that was so smart because she's making the same point that you're making. It's like, it needs to be something that you're not, you know, it's not two separate parts of your life. It's not something you're checking off the list. It's a state of being. It's a way of grounding yourself, plugging yourself in, getting fully present to be able to act from, make decisions from, you know, and kind of move forward from that inner space. Like, am I kind of capturing what you're saying?
Yes, yes. And it's been interesting. Recently, about a year and a half ago, I had this image come to me in a meditation where, you know how you see, I don't know if this will help anybody in your community, but you see a machine with the big cog wheels, the big wheels that are working together in a machine. I would imagine having a really big, like a big cog, like a big circle that moves slowly instead of a bunch of spinning little wheels like you see in a watch or a machine, because I would feel like I was spinning. And I was like, you know what, you're not going to get anything done in an effective, efficient, intentional, and present way if you're spinning really like fast. It's about getting the large circle going. I'm being too etheric. Do you see what I'm saying? Like just that beautiful machine that's slow and powerful instead of spinning out of control, because I get that way because life gets busy. And I think we all get that way these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. And because for me, I love the image, like I'm holding that image in my mind too, because when it feels like everything is frantic or, you know, I can relate to it because I can almost feel, I'm getting a little bit obsessive. You know, I'm getting, yeah, I'm always stimming out on what I'm doing. And it's always better for me to make sure that I'm grounded, centered, and connected, and not just doing the task in order to get it done, because I think that I'll be feeling better after it's done. It's coming from the place of that slow, that the word that's coming to me is like stillness. You know, when you're having that slow movement, you're talking like that stillness inside and taking action from there. So I like that. And I always like to hold visuals in my meditation. So I think that that's a really great one to hold on to. Yeah, really good, Kelly. Yeah. So we have just a few more minutes before I transition us into, we always close the show with a 3-minute meditation. But before we go into that, you know, we have a few minutes left. So is there anything, Kelly, I mean, you have so much experience and so much wisdom. Like, is there maybe something that we didn't talk about that you think would be valuable, or, you know, a story to share, or, you know, a method to share with people listening, and like anything that's occurring to you to share before we close out into the meditation?
Well, I would love for all women and men to check out my site and check out the truth tellers. We name everyone that shares with us or that I interview a truth teller. And I've done some incredible interviews with powerful people that have shared their truth. So I'd love them to check that out. But more importantly, click on the share button and have the courage to share an experience that you feel would inspire others and also help you to move forward. I would love that. And I think the only other thing I would like to leave the audience with is have no shame. Your story is valuable and important, and it wants to be heard, and the truth wants to be found.
I love that. And I think that that's such a good reminder, because I could guess that many, many, many people out there are refraining from telling their story because of some element of shame or imperfection or worry about being judged or condemned for what they've gone through or what they've struggled with. So I echo that. You know, I really do. I think it's so important to just be real. You know, nobody's perfect, and it's in the realness where we share that we're able to connect so profoundly in relationships with others. So really wise, Kelly, and I'm so glad that you have the Women for One Forum for people to be able to connect and create in that way. It's so beautiful. And I'm so glad for our friendship, you know, for our connection. So really, really great, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I hope that we can connect in the future and have more conversations and develop a great relationship. I think we're very aligned. Thanks so much for all you do.
Oh, I think so too. I think we do have a lot in common in terms of, you know, kind of passion and focus and everything. So it's perfect. And what you were just saying is actually a really great transition to bring us into the meditation. And so, Kelly, you're welcome to participate if you like. And anybody listening in, I always close out the show with just a 3-minute brief guided meditation. So if you'd like to participate, if you've been sitting in the same position for a little while and you need to just, I always like to just shift my body and kind of shake out my arms a little bit, roll my shoulders, whatever's comfortable for you to get yourself settled into a place where you can just be quiet and focused for a couple of minutes. And as you settle in and feel your body relax into that meditation space, just bring your attention gently on your breathing right now. No need to change it. No need to purposely slow it down. Just becoming gently aware of the small miracle of breathing. And as you get connected, I invite you to feel that your breath on every inhale as you take in the air, that it's centering you and grounding you into the earth, you know, really connecting you deeply within the circle of life, all spiritual community, the trees, the plants, the animals, the people, everything in our earth environment and beyond. But just imagine every breath that you're taking in is sinking more deeply into your being and anchoring and grounding you into that sense of connection with all that is. So just take a few more breaths just like that. On every inhale, breathing in with the knowing and the feeling experience that the connection of your breath is anchoring and centering and connecting you to the greatest source of everything that exists. And just gently breathing a couple more just like that. Knowing that the air you breathe is centering and connecting you. And you can really feel it making a difference. Connecting you so deeply on every breath and anchoring you to everything that feels like it's outside of yourself, but is really an extension of the depth of your being. And so let yourself take one last deep breath, one last breath in, feeling every dimension of your being connecting and feeling grounded, centered, and present. And that's it. Just a little tiny 3-minute, I kind of like an anchoring exercise, you know, just letting go of anything that you don't, not serving you in this moment, and getting yourself focused and connected on the place where our real empowerment comes from. So I hope that that was enjoyable for you if you participated. But I just want to say to everybody listening in, I so appreciate all of the comments and all of the, you know, emails and connections and everything from people listening in on this show. It just means the world to me. And it's such my joy to connect with people like Kelly and inspirational people on this planet to share their own stories and wisdom and be able to share that with a wider audience as well. So, and Kelly, I just love your spirit, your creativity, everything that you're creating in the world, I think is just absolutely amazing. And I'm just grateful our paths have crossed. So thank you again for being here and sharing yourself so willingly with everybody tuning in.
Thank you very much. And I wish you well.
I love it. And for everybody listening in, just as a reminder, if you want to look for Kelly and share your story, you can visit her website, which is womenforone.com. And you can find me at madlychasingpeace.com. Take care, everyone, and we'll catch you next week.